Sunrises and sunsets are textured and changing because the weather is so changeable in the fall. The wind is always a little bit more restless, and it's always picking up things and tossing them down the road in that kind of percussive clatter and rustle. The sounds of fall always seem so perfect to me. The calling of the birds going someplace exciting and new, the crunch of leaves under your feet, and everything seems to echo in the air a little more, as though sound just hangs a bit longer. It seems operatic to me, like this is the most dramatic season. I think of fall like it's the big musical number of Minnesota's praise to God. All the costumes are out. All the movement is there. All the rich sounds. Everyone's on stage in this wild and joyous synchronization. And you find yourself kind of breathless trying to take it in. I'm a runner, and I get to run along the Mississippi River a lot. And in the fall, I end up stopping and gasping a lot, not because the run is hard, but just because it's all so beautiful. There's so much love and so much loveliness in the worship song that is fall. I can't get enough of it. And it catches my heart up in praise to God. I find myself unconsciously saying, thank you. I can't believe I get to be here. And when nature goes into such a spectacular show of worshiping God, I just instinctively step right into praise along with it. And that is exactly where we are in the Psalms. We're in the last five psalms of the entire Psalter. And these final five Alleluias are the great crescendo of praise after the long journey of the Psalms. After all the history and the wisdom and the cries for justice and the laments and the thanksgivings, these final psalms are humanity restored to its rightful and joyful place of praise. These are the grand finale where everything is working as it should, and around us swirls a thousand songs of gratitude and awe for the God who began it, who sustained it, and who saved creation from its darkest hour. What a wonderful way for Bloomington Covenant to end its summer with these five Alleluia psalms, to get lost in the glory of the praise of God, and to wonder what that praise might mean for us, to be curious about our own ability to join in those psalms and to celebrate. Because let's face it, we spend a lot of time not praising, right? Or maybe I should make that more personal. I spend a lot of time not praising. I spend a lot of time in ruts of ingratitude, of wanting what I don't have, of focusing on what doesn't seem to be working right now. I can spend whole weeks counting all the things that are wrong with me, that are wrong with the world, and quite frankly, what's wrong with you too. In my busyness and in my self-importance, I see the glory of creation as merely a means to an end. And usually that end is my own pleasure and my own satisfaction. The whole thing isn't some great thank you to God. The whole thing is supposed to be about my convenience and my fulfillment. And you simply cannot praise when you are self-focused. Praise and joy are a forgetting yourself kind of thing, where you get lost in something that's bigger than you and may not even be about you, but you don't care because you get to be part of it all. You know, I can even see this in my marriage. I've only been married 5 months, and I already catch myself missing out on some of the praise that my new family is meant to offer. Instead of seeing the glory of my husband in such an intimate way, I keep wondering what he's going to do for me. How's this marriage fulfilling me? How is it making my life better? As though us becoming one was really about me getting some help around the house. Or me and missing out on my life being enlarged because of the big we that ends up expanding the little me. I really just got married to get my needs met. I mean, it's only 5 months, and I already can feel that edge that I've missed out on some of the alleluia that God has for me in this wondrous new family. It is in praise that we become the most alive, that we're stirred to a kind of delight that is us at our best. We laugh, we cry, we gasp, we throw ourselves into life around us with abandonment. Think of a party here. We lose our fear, and everything becomes so mysterious and amazing. We see what we have missed before. We're generous because we've been given so much. I mean, if you want to see humanity at its best, watch it when it's praising, especially when it's praising God. But even when it's praising the rest of creation, there's a light and a glow to human beings that reveals something spectacular about us. It's easy to fall in love with human beings when they're praising. Don't you want more of that in your life? Wouldn't whatever you're going through or whatever you're living in the midst of be better with the power of praise throbbing through you? I know I want this. I want to be swept up in praise. And this is exactly what Psalm 148 wants to do with us. It wants to catch us up into this giant praise number that is echoing across the universe. We're invited to join hands with angels and stars and sea monsters and get lost in how big and how good God is. So let's read Psalm 148 again together to see if we can learn from it, and maybe more importantly, to see if we can join it. And what I'd like to do is to do a special kind of reading of the psalm today. I'd like to invite you to, with your bodies, join the psalm. So what I'm going to ask you to do in the first part of the psalm, I'd like you to close your eyes, or if you want to look at these amazing stained glass, that's great too, but to look up and to listen to what the psalmist sees when he looks up. And then at some point, I'm going to ask you, close your eyes or keep them open, that's fine. Look down and imaginatively see what he sees. And then when we finish the psalm, I'm going to invite you, if your eyes were closed, to open them and just look around you. Okay? Are you game for that? Let's do this together. Psalm 148. So begin. Close your eyes or open your eyes and look up. But see with your imagination. Alleluia! Praise God from heaven. Praise him from the mountaintops. Praise him, all you, his angels. Praise him, all you, his warriors. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you morning stars. Praise him, high heavens. Praise him, heavenly rain clouds. Praise. Oh, let them praise the name of the Lord. He spoke the word, and they were. He set them in place from all time to eternity. He gave his orders, and that's it. Now close your eyes and look down. Praise God from the earth, you sea dragons and you fathomless ocean depths. Praise him, fire and hail, snow and ice, hurricanes obeying his orders, mountains and all hills. Praise him, apple orchards and cedar forests. Praise him, wild beasts, herds of cattle, snakes, and birds in flight. Now look around you. Praise him, earth's kings, and all races, leaders, and important people, robust men and women in their prime. Yes, graybeards and little children, let them praise the name of God. It's the only name worth praising. His radiance exceeds anything in earth and sky. And he's built a monument, his very own people. Praise from all who love God, Israel's children, intimate friends of God. Alleluia. So there's some wonderful stuff going on in this psalm. And just by the movements, if you joined in with that, just by the movements of your body, you kind of did the movements of the psalm. You did exactly what the psalmist did. He looked up, he looked down, and then he looked around him. The psalmist begins with that look upward. And he calls everything he sees to praise God. And he sees the visible things, but he also calls the invisible things to praise God. And here we see that ancient world's perception that all of creation, both physical and spiritual, are so connected and so intertwined that anytime it's time to do what's most important, you have to account for both the physical and the spiritual. They're all together. So we have mountaintops worshiping, and they're sitting in the same pew with the heavenly court of angels and soldiers, right? It's all together. Now, we do get a glimpse in Scripture of angel worship, and it generally involves choirs and flames and smoke and earthquakes. Pretty spectacular stuff. I mean, when angels worship, they put our best light shows and pyrotechnics to shame. Disney's got nothing on angel worship. But I'm left wondering, what does it look like for mountaintops to worship? Or what about rain clouds? I mean, these are inanimate parts of creation. Right? They have no will. They have no life. But in fact, even some things that have life, like apple orchards or cows or birds, they seem to be driven by instinct. They don't really have a capacity for reflection. So what does worship look like for a cow? I think in looking at the creation story, which we did in Scripture, and in reading the Psalms, we see that creation worships by being what it is fully. So those mountaintops and orchards and cows worship by being exactly what they are. When they are their most complete selves, free to be what they're meant to be, they offer worship to God. And here's the edge. When we destroy mountaintops, or we force cows to live lives that aren't very cow-like, we actually steal their worship. We decide that the minerals, or the really cheap, delicious steaks, are more important than creation worshiping. Now, I do want to say I am a vegetarian, but there's nothing in Scripture that's wrong with eating a cow or a chicken. And thanking God for the food that we've been given. It's just that if we actually believe that the creation around us is worshiping God, then we ought to care that it gets to worship as much as it possibly can before we eat it. And I think that some of the ways that we farm And some of the ways that we interact with creation snuffs out its worship. I think the environmental movement is kind of just catching up with Psalm 148. It finally has figured out what Psalm 148 has known for thousands of years. There's something intrinsically good and powerful about the world and its creatures getting to be what God made them to be. This is how they praise. They were meant to do that. We're strengthened when creation gets to praise God. I think in this section, it's also important to notice that sun and moon and stars are called to worship God. Now, this is significant because the people that surrounded Israel worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars. So here, the psalmist is calling these things that people worship to take their rightful place in creation and give their glory to God. Now, thankfully, we don't worship the sun or the moon or the stars, but I wonder what it would look like for the things that we do have a tendency to worship, what it might look for them to worship God. What does it look like for money to give praise to God? What does it look like for our careers, our success, our influence, to give praise to God? What does it look like for our families to worship God? Or even the pleasures we experience and the fun that we're so hungry for. What might it look like for those things to praise God? What does it mean for our sex lives to praise God? The psalmist is calling everything in creation that gets worshiped to find its rightful, joyous place of praise to God. And what's amazing is that all those things that we worship were given to us as gifts. They become idols that destroy us. But when we let them praise God, they return to the gifts that they were meant to be when He gave them to us. Verse 6 tells us why all these things should praise God. And it's because He made them and He sustains them. Existence has been brought about by God. And the fact that something exists is a statistical miracle. If you exist today, which most of you appear to be doing well, it's a rare and a beautiful thing that should not be taken for granted. I mean, I don't actually think about most of the time the fact that I exist means that I won the lottery. Well, in fact, there's more of a chance for you to win the lottery than for you to exist. The chances of you existing as you are about 1 in 400 quadrillion. Like, you're not going to buy that lottery ticket, right? You beat the odds just by being here. And existence is enough of a reason for a cloud to praise God. It might be enough of a reason for us. And then look at those last verses where you began to kind of look around at one another. The human beings whom you saw are called to praise God. And it starts with the human beings who are the most used to being praised themselves. The kings, the leaders, the important people. They're all called to their rightful place in creation to praise God, to send on the praise that they've received right to the one who truly deserves it. And then all ages, from men and women in their prime to the very young and the very old, are called to praise God. Now, apparently, the praise of people changes over time. And we have a new praise song to sing with each stage of our lives. In fact, I think that people spend a lot of time struggling with finding their place in the world. What's my place? Where do I belong? And by that, people mean a lot of things. They can mean what's their vocation or who's in their community or what's their purpose, or even sometimes they're just looking for a spouse, but they're looking for this thing called their place in the world. And the psalmist seems to be saying that we're asking the wrong question or looking for the wrong thing. The psalmist calls humanity to find its place in this world by finding its praise in this world. When we discover our awe and our thank you and our gratitude to God, we settle perfectly into this world and into His plan for our lives. What would it mean for you right now to find your praise to God in this season of life, in your context, with this job and this family and this body and these questions and these struggles and these joys? What are the verses of the song that you sing, unique from bumblebees and from the person you're sitting next to right now? What is that praise that you can get caught up in right now where you are in your life? The psalmist, in essence, is saying to us, we're waiting for your praise. Your part of creation worshiping is what we're missing. Sing your song. Even if you sing it with tears, even if you sing it with a limp, even if you sing it not believing that you're actually on your feet this morning and dressed, offer your song of praise to God. It's what creation is waiting for. I believe that finding your praise helps you find your feet in the midst of the storm, or in the midst of the life that you're in the midst of the changes that you're facing, or that Bloomington Covenant is facing. What is the praise song? Because if you can find that, you will know your place in the world and in your own life. The psalm finishes by seeing the beauty of God so radiant that all of the beauty of creation in heaven and on earth pales in comparison to God's beauty. And then the psalmist sees us, the people of God, praising God, and says, "You're a monument. You reveal God to the rest of creation." When you get caught up in joyous, exuberant praise, you are intimate friends of God. When we get caught up in the love of God, we reveal what God looks like to mountaintops and to angels and to rain clouds and to hurricanes. We end up displaying the beauty of God for all the world to see when we praise. Our praise is nothing less than the cracking open of creation, revealing the Creator who made it all. Not only are we loved by God, not only are we saved by Jesus, not only do we get to know the joy of a life lived closer to our truer selves each day, but when we praise, we get to reveal God Himself in our praise. We are the autumn of creation. We're the brilliant trees. We're the wonderful sounds. We're the best that creation offers. We're the grand finale of praise in the midst of creation's big dance number. We are creation at its best when we praise. And when we praise, creation sees God. And our praise reveals this amazing God who made us and who is worthy of anything good we can say and anything good that we can do. and Bloomington Covenant, I think that might be worth an alleluia this morning. Alleluia. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this gorgeous psalm. Thank you that we get to get caught up in it. We pray that we would become better and better praisers, that we could outpraise Psalm 148 here at Bloomington, that we would find our place in this world because we offer the praise that our lives are meant to offer right now and right here. Do that among us. Set us free in all your joy and in all your glory, Lord God. Let all who love the Lord praise him. Amen.